morning, everyone. My name is Scott Guthrie, and I run the Cloud and Enterprise Group at Microsoft. And today, we're excited to introduce a new Azure application service that's going to enable you to build better cloud applications and use them to deliver even better business results. It's an incredibly exciting time in the technology space right now. The opportunities to transform how we all do business have never been greater. And every organization is looking for ways to engage their customers better, empower their employees more, and ultimately transform the value they deliver. Developers and the application solutions they build play an integral role in enabling this. In fact, it's increasingly digital apps and technology that enable businesses to delight their customers and differentiate from one another. And it's never been a better time to be a developer than now. Azure is Microsoft's cloud computing platform and enables developers to move faster and do more. With Azure, we deliver an application platform that enables you to build applications that can scale from just a few users to literally tens of millions of concurrent users around the world. Our service enables incredibly agile development workflows and the ability to continuously deploy improvements to your solutions with zero friction. And we provide a rich set of capabilities that enable you to integrate your applications with any data and unlock insights for your business. More than 10,000 customers a week are now signing up to Microsoft Azure and using it to build fantastic applications. And as part of today's announcements, we have several customers who are going to be joining us on stage to talk about their experiences using Azure and the success they've had with it. You're going to hear from Hogarth, who are a leading digital agency who build web applications for major brands all over the world, and learn how they're taking advantage of our hyperscale capabilities to power them. Now, most websites and applications follow a fairly cyclical usage pattern, where there are peaks and valleys throughout a week or year in terms of traffic. And in a traditional hosting model, businesses have to provision capacity to handle their peak load. And in a fixed deployment model, this means their servers are often underutilized during non-peak times. In a hyperscale deployment model, you can instead dynamically adjust your compute capacity to instead just match what you need. And this enables you to save a tremendous amount of money, as well as ensure that you can scale up as necessary to meet any traffic need. And what Hogarth has done is taken advantage of Azure's built-in auto-scaling support to automatically do this. The sites that Hogarth deploy are configured so that they can start small and run just on a single virtual machine instance. And then when traffic increases, they can automatically scale out the application to run on more servers without having to take any manual steps. And when they get a major influx of traffic, they know they can scale up even further in just seconds. And as you'll hear from Hogarth later today, this has helped them tremendously with unexpected traffic spikes and when those have happened. And what's great is when the traffic slows, their system can automatically scale down to just the capacity they need, saving them lots of money. One of the other characteristics of hyperscale is having a cloud that literally runs all over the world. And Azure today runs in 19 data center regions around the world, allowing you to deploy code and applications closer to customers and employees than ever before. And one of the great features about Azure is that we enable you to run multiple copies of your application simultaneously across different regions. And with our Traffic Manager feature, Hogarth has been able to automatically route users to their websites to the nearest instance, which gives their sites great performance and responsiveness, regardless of where the users are around the world. It also means that if one of the instances of their applications ever has a problem, it can be automatically removed from rotation, and users will be routed to another instance of it. And this has enabled Hogarth to deliver even better performance and high availability for their customers and scale to a truly global audience. Now, 3M is another one of the customers you're going to hear from today, and they're going to talk about their experience using Azure. 3M is one of the largest companies in the world with more than 88,000 employees and more than 55,000 products. And they're using Azure now to build the backends for many of their mobile solutions. And they love the agility that Azure provides them to move quickly and deliver value fast. One of the things that makes Azure unique is its built-in support for a DevOps lifecycle. Developers can use popular source control repositories such as Visual Studio Online, GitHub, and Bitbucket, and set up continuous deployment pipelines to deploy their applications to Azure. And every time a developer checks in code, Azure can automatically build it, deploy it to a private deployment slot, test it, and then swap it into production, assuming all the tests pass and everything's looking well. And then they can automatically monitor it and provide runtime analytics. And this enables an incredibly fast development cycle and enables you to continuously improve your products and services. And you'll hear from 3M today how they've been able to go from, in some cases, from concept to a deployed production version of a mobile app on Azure in less than a weekend. And this has provided 3M with incredible business agility, allows them to move even faster as an organization, and sees even better business results. Now, in addition to scale and agility, Azure also enables organizations to easily integrate their applications across a very wide variety of systems and ultimately enable deep business insights as a result. For example, Fortis integrated their on-premise systems across 34 different hospitals to their ERP system using Azure BizTalk services. And the ability to easily connect Azure applications to any existing system, whether they're hosted in the cloud or on premises behind a firewall, enables you to deliver even more value within your applications and connect with systems and investments you already have. So hyperscale, agility, insight. As you'll hear directly from these customers, Azure has enabled them to build applications that embrace each of these attributes and deliver fantastic business results. Now, some of the key services used by Azure customers to build these solutions today include our Azure Websites offering, our Azure Mobile Services offering, and our Azure BizTalk Services offering. These are separate offerings today and provide all of the capabilities I previously mentioned with these three customers. And we're excited today to announce that we're releasing some major new enhancements that make these services even better. And I'd like to invite Bill Staples on stage to talk about them.
Thank you, Scott. It's great to be here today to talk about some of the improvements we're making to the Azure application platform. So Scott's talked to us about three key app services in Azure today: our website service, mobile services, and BizTalk integration services. We have tens of thousands of customers using these services to build hundreds of thousands of applications, which process literally billions of requests every single day. And as we've engaged you, our customers, to learn where we can take those products next, what we can do to increase your agility, your productivity, and make it even easier and quicker to build apps in the cloud, we've realized we can do something really unique. We've realized we can bring these together in a single offering in a very, very interesting way. And so today, I'm excited to announce the Azure App Service. This is a completely unique and integrated offer that lets you build intelligent web and mobile applications that scale as your business grows. We love the cloud with Azure App Service, and so we're bringing you the best of ability to build web apps, mobile apps, logic apps, and APIs. You can use every one of these app types in the same project or create separate projects and use them individually. And to help you get going quickly, we've built in dozens of connectors to the most popular SaaS systems in the world. Everything from Office 365 and Dynamics to Salesforce to Dropbox and even Twitter. You'll be able to connect to any service in the cloud quickly and consume those services within your web and mobile application. And you can do this at all one low price. To show Azure App Service in action, I've asked Scott Hanselman to come and do a quick demo so you can see all these application types in one single project. Let me turn it now over to Scott. It's going to take just a few minutes for us to get set up. We'll be right back with you. Thanks.
Thanks, Bill. So my name is Scott Hanselman, and I'm going to give you a demo here of Azure App Service. Now, Bill has shown you the higher level perspective of the services that are provided to you in Azure App Service. I'm going to give you the developer's perspective of how that works. So I'm going to change this dialogue a little bit here. Let's look at it like this. It's really API apps that I'm going to consume in my web apps, logic apps, and mobile apps. And I'm going to even do more and double-click on this. And let's think about how we would build an end-to-end car dealership example using the tools that are provided by Azure App Service. So I recently just got my Toyota worked on, so this is going to make a lot of sense to me. The customer goes to a website, and then they go and book their appointment. The service advisor logs into a different system, a web app running in Azure, and they'll assign a technician. And then the service technician, who is a mobile person moving around in the garage, is going to then do that work and close out the service work. We're going to build that using Azure App Service and all those different diverse applications. So if we zoom in here a little bit, let's talk first about the web app. This customer site is actually a legacy site. This is an older application that talks to a SQL server. Honestly, I don't even know if I have the code anymore. But we're starting to modernize our environment now, and we're putting in Salesforce or Dynamics or some kind of a sophisticated CRM system. And I'd like to take those customer requests for service, and I'd like to put them into Salesforce. And then I'd like the service advisor, who's running a different web app, to take that and schedule it. We're going to use API apps to orchestrate that entire thing. So let's switch over and make that appointment first. So here I am in the public website, and I'm going to schedule an appointment. So this application is an Azure web app, and I'm just going to go and put in my name and my email and indicate that I need an oil change at a particular time. This legacy application has been running in Azure as a web app, and when I hit create, we are making a record in a SQL server. But I want this legacy application to be a part of the larger modern system that we have with Azure App Service. Now that I'm including Salesforce, we should have customer information pulled out of that and into our CRM system. And the way that we can do that is with a thing called Logic Apps. So Logic Apps let me do business process management and automation at a much higher level than I would ordinarily be able to do. Now, I could certainly write some code to talk to SQL Server and put that data into Salesforce, but I've actually got the components available to me as APIs. I've got Office, I've got Salesforce, I can even talk to SQL or HTTP using these API applications that Bill mentioned. What I really want to do is orchestrate those things in a larger workflow, a durable cloud-based workflow, and create a logic app. So we're going to do just that. So I'm here in the Azure portal, and I'm creating a logic app. This is one of the new services available in Azure App Service. And within it, I can consume API apps. So what I want to do is I want to pull my legacy SQL database, and I want to bring that information into Salesforce. So I can choose from a gallery of lots of different things. You can see we've got web jobs and BizTalk and Dropbox and OneDrive and Dynamics. So many things to choose from. The ones that I'm interested in are, in this case, SQL. Then we're going to click on that, and we're going to connect to that API app. And you'll notice that I have the choice of either XML or JSON. We speak JSON natively, and we can move JSON through this pipeline because that is the native language that we speak. And I'm going to say a frequency of 1 minute. We're going to look at this database for new customers. And then you can see that it knows all about that database because this connector is providing what's called Swagger metadata and including it into this pipeline. Now I can add another step and take the customer's first name and phone number and bring it into Salesforce. So we'll click on Salesforce, and I can do a create or a get or an update, but I'm going to do what's called an upsert. This is an insert or update, depending on whether or not this is a new or an existing customer. So here I'll say upsert contact, and we're going to put that into the phone field. And then when I click on the plus here, you'll notice that that information, that metadata has flowed from the SQL API application into the Salesforce Connector API application. So I can go and say that the phone number is the most important part about that, and we'll bring in first name and last name, and also the phone number, because I might want to text that person, and perhaps their email address. Now I'm going to take that information that's flowing through the SQL connector into the Salesforce connector and then put it into another API from our partners at Twilio. Twilio does messaging and SMS. First, I'm going to say OK on this Salesforce connector and then click on Twilio. And you can see I'm starting to add to my pipeline. We'll send a message. That's the most popular thing you can do with Twilio, although they provide a whole rich API of things that I can do that are messaging related. We'll click on send message. Now, here's my opportunity to have a real touch point with this customer. I'm going to personalize a text message to them and let them know that their appointment has been scheduled. So I'm going to put in the from phone number to and then a message to the customer. So I've already configured these connectors. I put in the connection string for SQL, and I've authenticated against Salesforce. And that's another magical thing about API apps is that the authentication is flowing all the way through. Now, in the context of Twilio, I have an account with them, so I'm going to use the from phone number that I've set up ahead of time. And then the to phone number is coming from the customer. It's flowing all the way through from SQL to Salesforce, so I'm going to pick that as well. And you notice that that contact information is moving its way through the pipeline. So then I'll say here in the text, an appointment for you has been scheduled. And then I'll hit OK, and then save this Logic app. So I've saved that Logic app, and that is now running in the context of the Azure App Service. And again, that's the great thing about App Service, whether it be a web app, a Logic app, or an API app, they're all running within that same context using that same... Oh, I got a text message there. An appointment is being scheduled. So now I know that I'm going to have my car worked on very, very soon. So now I'm going to put on the role of the service advisor, the person who does the scheduling of this appointment. So here I've logged in to the service advisor's dashboard. Now this is a much more modern application than the front end, the legacy front end. This one in fact talks not only to Salesforce, but also to Office 365. This modern application is what the customer service representatives use to schedule their appointments. So I'll come in here and we'll find, there we go, Scott Hanselman. And I'm going to select that account, and you can see that this has been put into Salesforce, and this application, this web application running within the context of Azure App Service, is pulling that data from the API app in Salesforce and presenting it here. And then I'll hit Next, and then I'm going to pick a technician who's going to work on my car. Bob, who is apparently a model in his spare time, we're going to pick him and then hit Next. Now, did you see that right there? You see how the data came in from Bob Johnson's actual Office 365 calendar? That's real data, and he's using Outlook to manage his schedule. In this case, the service advisor is using a web app running as part of Azure App Service that then talks to an API app that talks to Office. So we're composing these pieces together. I've got an application here that's pulling from Salesforce and pulling and pushing into Office. So I'm going to schedule this appointment right now. We'll drag in, we'll have a break recall maybe, and drop that. And now that has actually shown up in Outlook, and Bob Johnson has that information available. But you know, I realized that earlier when I sent that text message, it wasn't very personalized. The text message was, your appointment's being scheduled. I know a lot about this customer. I saw that, I even have his VIN number. You know, IT has some code that decodes VIN numbers. VIN numbers have all sorts of information in them, like make, model, style, year, place of manufacture. Maybe I could go back and change that Logic app and give a more personalized experience for the customer. I don't want to change the code that the service technician works on, and I really don't want to change the legacy application, but I do want to change the larger business process. And now I'm realizing that I have all the different pieces that I need in the form of API apps. Maybe I could make an existing piece of code an API app as well. So I'm going to do that right now in Visual Studio. I'm going to say File, New Project, and pick ASP.NET Web Application. You'll see that there's a new option here in the form of Azure API App. We'll pick that and hit OK. This is an ASP.NET Web API, but it also has that additional information, that metadata that's going to allow the data to flow through my Logic application. Now I want to bring in that piece of code that IT has on how to decode a VIN. I'm going to pull that piece of code off my desktop and put it into my web API. So we'll grab the VIN decoder and I'll drop it into my application. Now I'll go into the Hello World controller that was created. They created a values controller for me. I'm going to change that to a VIN decoder. And then here, where we just return some sample strings, we're actually going to call that existing component. So I'll bring in that VIN decoder now, and we'll call decode on it. We'll pass in a VIN number, and we'll change our API to take a string, which is the VIN number. Now remember that this VIN number is coming from Salesforce. And we'll compile. So now I've successfully wrapped this existing component and presented it as a web API, but I also need it to be an API app. And that can be converted from an existing application, or in the context of the one that we have here, we see that we've already got this API app.json with this Swagger documentation. Swagger is a fun name to describe that metadata. And we're actually using an open source tool called Swashbuckle that's creating that for us. But it provides context that the logic application is going to need to include this into that process. So I'll just publish this to Azure right now. So I'll right-click and hit Publish. And you can see that there's a new option, which is Azure API Apps, that I can pick. So I'll click OK. That'll publish in just a moment. So a few seconds went by, and that's been published into Azure, and I've moved over into the portal. You can see that I've got the Vim decoder available to me as an API app, as a piece that I can include in my larger logic workflow to personalize a better experience and a better message for my customer. Now, here I had it going from SQL to Salesforce and to Twilio. I'm going to go ahead and remove Twilio for now. I'm going to pull that off of the end, and I'm going to add the Vim decoder in instead. And I'll pick Get Vim Info. That's that public API that's now available within my Logic app and really available now to all kinds of applications within Azure App Service. Here we're going to pull out the Vim number from Salesforce and then hit OK. And you'll see, look, manufacturer, type, year, I've got all the information that I need about a car to make that text message even more personal. Now we'll click on Twilio, send a message. I'll put in that same phone number, pull the phone number from the customer who's going to get the text, and then I'll say, your appointment for your, and now remember, I can pull from any of the data that's flowing through here, 2012 Toyota Prius. Has been scheduled. And hit OK. So now I've got a much more sophisticated and frankly much more interesting logic app. I've changed a business process using the same API applications that are being used by the other things within the application. So now I'm going to save that logic app. You see it's success, and that logic is running in the background all the time in the context of Azure App Service. Oh, and there we go. An appointment for your 2012 Toyota Prius has been scheduled. So now I have a more personal experience. At this point, though, we actually have to do the work and, you know, change the oil and swap the brakes out. Now, the technician who's going to work on my car is going to be mobile. They're going to be moving around a garage, perhaps in an occasionally connected scenario. So they're going to need a mobile app. We've got mobile apps with Azure App Service as well. These mobile applications that are used by the technician could be on a Windows, an iOS, or an Android device. In this case, I've got an iPad, and the code that we've written gets to consume the exact same API apps that everything else did. The same Office connectors, the same Twilio connectors. I can talk to SQL, I can talk to Dynamics, I can talk to whatever I want, whether I'm a web app, a logic app, or a mobile app. We share that same componentry, and we run within the same context of Azure API apps. Let's take a look at that code real quick. So here I am in Visual Studio using Xamarin to write the iOS app that the technician is going to use to service my car. You can see there at the bottom under Get Appointments, we're actually creating clients to Office 365. I'm also calling the VIN information so I can get that rich data from the new VIN component that I created, as well as talk to Salesforce and create the work items. Now here I've got that application running on an iPad that the technician is using, and I can select my job, and we can see that he's performed the work, and he's changed the oils, and he's fixed the brake, and then I'll just hit Mark Completed, and that's going to make a call back to the API app and complete that workflow, and hopefully I'll get my car. So I just mark that completed, and then soon a logic app will fire off a text message to let me know that it's time to get out of the waiting room, and my 2012 Toyota Prius is done, and I'm going to go ahead and turn it back over to Bill and pick up my car.
Great job, Scott. So Scott's given us a great view of Azure App Service in action with a combination of web, mobile, logic apps, and APIs underneath, all sharing a common set of components. I wanted to spend just a minute now drilling in a bit to each of those application types and the benefits that you'll enjoy when you use Azure App Service. We'll start with web apps. If you're an Azure Websites customer, you'll be happy to know that web apps continue to run with all the same great features as Azure Websites with no changes required. If you're new to App Service and you want to try building a web app in the cloud, you'll be excited to know that Azure App Service with web apps has the broadest array of features for anyone in the cloud. In fact, we've got support for all of the popular frameworks out there, everything from .NET to Java and beyond. Bring your own tools or use the great built-in capabilities with Visual Studio for editing, creating projects, checking them into the source code repository of your choice, and continuous integration right into the running service. We've also got incredibly powerful enterprise capabilities with auto load balancing, auto scale, and GDPR. The mobile apps type of Azure App Service has all the same features of our Azure Mobile Services offering with a whole lot more. We've brought all those same great capabilities of DevOps that you saw with Azure Websites and the enterprise capabilities as well. So you'll have built-in autoscale and GDPR support, virtual networking, as well as great agility with continuous integration and staged deployments. Logic apps are a new app type with Azure App Service and provide you a built-in designer for a no-code experience, stitching together APIs in the cloud. We've got dozens of built-in templates in the gallery, or you can create your own JSON-based template to describe the orchestration or the business process of your own. And with out-of-box support for all those consumer and commercial SaaS systems, building one is very quick and easy. Let me wrap up then with the API application type, which makes it easy to create, consume, and host APIs in the cloud. This lets you easily create an API or use one of the dozens of built-in APIs that we provide out of the box. In fact, we're providing an ecosystem around APIs. So beyond the ones that we've built, anyone in the industry and in our partner ecosystem can create an API, can provide it into the gallery, or even sell it in our marketplace. And then you can easily create and consume those APIs as part of your application. We've got excellent Visual Studio support for one-click publishing, as well as remote debugging of APIs, and automatic client SDK generation for any of the APIs that are built into the product. I mentioned these earlier, but just for the sake of completeness, you'll see the full array of APIs that we've got out of the box, including all of those BizTalk services that are currently in Azure BizTalk. You'll be able to integrate both SaaS as well as on-premise systems and use a full contingent of BizTalk integration APIs in the context of any app. Now with that, it's my privilege to introduce you to a few of our customers. First up, I'm excited to introduce Peter Proud, Managing Director from Hogarth. Peter. Thank you so much for coming. Have a seat.
You're welcome.
So Peter, tell me a little bit about Hogarth and your experience with Azure.
So we're a post-production agency. We've got 1,200 people, and we service some of the largest companies in the world with regards to taking the message from the camera to all channels. We've been working with the Azure team now for 18 months, building a new digital marketing platform so we can deliver at scale websites, you know, for our clients all over the world.
That's awesome. And I heard that you recently launched a new website for Dyson. Can you tell me a little bit about that project?
Sure. Dyson came to us and they said they were going to launch a new project. One of the things about Dyson is they like to keep things very secret, so we only got 4 weeks' worth of notice.
Wow.
So they asked us to do the launch for the new Dyson robot. Hmm. So they came to us and said they wanted a rich media experience. They wanted to launch in they wanted it in 37 languages, and they wanted us to focus on Japan and the Asian market. So we worked with Dyson. One of the things that was quite interesting, they didn't actually have the device built at this point, so we just had to work everything off of CAD and samples. So we built a rich media website. We built it in 37 languages in 4 weeks.
Wow.
And then we published it to Azure. So when James Dyson stood on stage to do the global launch, we caught the traffic following his announcement of the new product.
Tell me a little bit about launch day. It sounds like it was a mad rush for those 4 weeks preceding it. What did launch day look like?
So it's kind of nerve-wracking. we finished all of the testing at 20 past 10 in the morning, and James Dyson was standing on stage at 11 o'clock. One of the great things about Azure was the ease of publishing the websites to the websites in blob storage. So we had our engineers in Edinburgh actually publish the websites to Japan, East and West, to the data center in Ireland and in Holland and in America. So we were ready for live launch, and we were good to go.
So geo-distributed deployment, all within 25 minutes or so between the time the website was done and he went on stage.
Yeah, absolutely.
And did the website perform well? How did it scale?
It was fabulous. One of the things, it's quite difficult to, you know, predict what a launch is going to be like. You don't know which news channels are going to pick it up.
Yep.
So BBC, and BBC actually ran an article on it. So we were told to anticipate about 100 and 150,000 users on the first day. But because the news wires were so interested in this product, it was a kind of unprecedented launch ever by Dyson. So we got 1.5 million hits in the first 24 hours.
And so 10x the growth was planned, and yet did you have any outages or slowdowns?
No, there was no issues. One of the things that we were hit by a lot of traffic in Europe because of the BBC. And we had a tiny little blip for a couple of seconds where the video downloads, there was just too much from the resource we'd planned, because obviously we'd planned for 150,000 instead of 1.5 million. So we, with our team, we were monitoring all the performance of all of the websites. So we were able to ramp up the resources in Europe, across Ireland, and in Holland, and we were good to go. We didn't have any outages, but we just had a little bit of slowdown in some of the videos for about 20 seconds. But other than that, it was a perfect smooth launch.
That's great to hear. Glad we could help make that happen.
Thanks.
What else has surprised or excited you about Azure App Service and some of the capabilities that we've talked about today?
So one of the things that we really like about it, I mean, when it comes to the digital world and the way we think about things, the first kind of theory we always apply is the only constant is change. Mm-hmm. You know, so we are constantly changing, innovating. You know, clients are asking for new things. So the fact that we can now easily integrate third-party services using your API in the new service is just fantastic for us. You know, one of the partnerships we're forging is, you know, is with Intel, and we're looking at the Internet of Things. So, you know, we were going to have to build a stack of APIs, but now I don't think we're going to have to do that. We can just surface the APIs that come out of the box with the new service. So that's one of the things that you know, we were looking at. The next version of our platform is going to be all about analytics. So we're working with Microsoft to build in the BI capabilities, the machine learning capabilities. We're going to tie it into CRM, sentiment analysis.
Awesome.
And we're going to have to build a series of APIs for all of those factors as well. But the fact that it comes out of the box, then that will save, you know, my development team have to worry about things like APIs, et cetera, and focus on building the next version of product, you know, that actually gives value add instead of, you know, just kind of connectors.
That's great to hear. We're glad we can save you even more time in delivering these solutions to market with the built-in API capabilities. Yeah. Well, is there anything else you wanted to share with our audience today about your thoughts on working with Azure and Microsoft?
I mean, one of the key takeaways we have is, you know, engage Microsoft early. We've been working with Microsoft Consultant Services the whole way through. We've been working with the Azure product team. You know, so actually just having access to what's coming next and, you know, being able to really think about what's core, you know, for your clients and actually being able to see where you're going has just been fantastic for us. I mean, if you look at, you know, all the questions that we're getting asked, two of the biggest areas that the CMO and the CIOs are focused about are security and analytics. Mm. And if you look at, you know, where Microsoft's going, you know, if you look at the standards that you have and, you know, the kind of the compliance work that you've done around about Azure, it's fantastic. Mm-hmm. One of the things that was really interesting, we kind of, my team and myself had a bit of an oversight with our platform, and one of the policies inside WPP is they expect, you know, dual level authentication. And we didn't build it into our platform, so the security and compliance guys, you know, came down on us and said, look, we really need you to have dual level authentication. It took us about 25 minutes to switch it on inside of Azure as part of the service.
Wow.
And away we were. So, you know, the fact that, you know, our clients are all looking for scalable, robust, secure solutions, you know, that are elastic, that are secure, and give them the data they need for their business. You know, we feel very comfortable as, you know, working with Azure, you know, as that partner.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much for coming with us today.
Thank you.
Great to have you.
Thank you.
And now I'd like to introduce Jason Fox. He's a mobile application architect at 3M Corporation. Jason. Thanks for coming out.
Thanks for having me.
Seat. So Jason, you've been working, I think, with our mobile services platform.
I have.
Tell me a little bit about your project and how it's gone.
Well, that was kind of a funny story. So one of our business unit leaders came to our group with a problem. They wanted some more visibility into where we had some hardware and software installed. Huh. But since we don't sell directly to the end customer, they didn't really have a tool that would give them that visibility. So my boss and this business unit director are talking, and they present the problem to me and say, well, wouldn't it be cool if we had an app that did that? And of course, I have to pop off a little bit and say, well, I could do that in a weekend.
Uh-oh.
And they said, okay, do it. So I had a hard problem to solve. So, you know, a little bit of Azure magic with some help from Xamarin Tools, we were able to crank out that app in a weekend and give our sales team the tool that they needed to start gathering that data and get that insight that they were looking for.
So let me get this right. You use Xamarin to build what kind of app?
An iOS app.
iOS app using Azure Mobile Services on the back end.
Correct.
Over a weekend.
Over a weekend.
Wow. So the application helps the sales
right.
or
so
partners
as,
collect data
right.
in
so
the
as,
field.
As the sales team and our vendors are out in the field, as they come across any of our equipment or software in a parking garage or wherever it might be, they say, let me pull out the app, and they type it in, helps them fill out all the data that they need, does some geo lookup for addresses, and just made it kind of fun.
Sounds like a perfect mobile scenario where you've got to have the app in the field,
right?
Whether there's connectivity or not, right?
Like, right.
So do you deal with offline issues, and how do you deal with them?
Well, at first, you know, I started to build my own data synchronization, and lo and behold, the Azure team had already thought of it, and they're probably doing a better job of it than I am. So they said, hey, why don't you try ours? I said, well, I'd love to. How do I do that? They showed me, you know, an hour later, I've got full data syncing and client-side caching happening. Wow. So, without them, I probably would have still had that shoe in my mouth. So,
that's the kind of productivity we love to hear about. So as you've heard about Azure App Service and talk with the team about it, how do you envision using it or helping you going forward?
Well, you know, data is always king. And with all the third-party integrations that are there, especially as we start to expand out our mobile tools and I see all kinds of analytics coming out of it, you know, just helping our teams be more productive and have that tightly, you know, that really robust, tightly integrated solution, whether it's with SAP or some other third-party vendor. Hmm. You guys are making it easy for guys like me.
Good. I'm glad to hear it. And as you consider the move from your existing application from mobile services into Azure App Service, what does that look like for you?
Well, it looks like you guys have really taken the time to see what it was going to take to do that and keep it as smooth as possible. I don't really see that we're going to have really any huge hiccups when we start to do that migration. So I'm actually looking forward to getting started with it. So
great.
Great.
Well, thank you so much for coming out today and talking with us about your experiences with Azure. It's been a
pleasure.
Thanks
for having me.
So we've been talking today about Azure App Service and the advancements that Microsoft is making in the cloud space for application developers. To help wrap us up, we wanted to bring on an industry expert. So let me introduce Thomas Murphy, Research Director with Gartner. Tom. Thanks for not letting the surgery slow you down.
Ah, my pleasure. All right, I'm just going to sit down. I'm a little mobile, but not so stable. So I'm going to talk through a few different slides about how we see things changing for the developer and how really our relationship is changing with business because of new technologies that are there and because of the demands of our business. So right now, we build a lot of applications, and generally IT is looked at as being a cost, it's an impediment. And what we've noted is that we've got a lot of skills and time built up over many years building software applications. We're good at it. However, what we see is that the change brought about because of what's called the SMAC stack, or what Gartner calls the nexus of forces, mobile, cloud, social, and analytic, That is driving us to have to adopt a completely new structure, not only to the way that we build applications, but the way that teams are organized. So if we stay doing things the way that we do them now, we're going to get to a point where our applications will fail. And it's going to take a dramatic change, both from developers as well as from business, a leap to get into a new architecture. As we look at where businesses dial in and deal with us a lot, we have all of these different trends that happen. So we've been over 10 years now talking about Agile. When business talks to me and calls up, it's always about how can I reduce the cost? How can I make things go faster? In essence, we always are looking at, can I do things cheaper and faster? And so when they look at Agile, business thinks, oh, that means I'll get software cheaper and faster. That's not the reality, but that's the way that we sell it to them. Now we've moved into an era where we hear about DevOps and this idea that people can release software all the time. All the time, that means cheaper and faster. But the great thing is, as we move forward into this era of digital business, this era where we reach out directly to the consumer, directly to our partners, and we deliver software to them, and we get to the point where we are responsive to their needs, now we start to talk about how IT becomes a value point for the organization and how we can create a partnership between what IT needs and what business needs. But in order to get there, we have to master the techniques of Agile and how do we do continuous integration. We have to master the ability to deliver software in an automated fashion rather than in a manual way. We need to be able to incorporate web-scale architectures, architectures that are built on a cloud platform and delivered as a set of services. And then we need to be able to communicate with the business in a way that helps them get to where they are trying to connect to their customer. Everything won't happen like that in an organization. An important principle we delivered last year was this idea of bimodal IT. This really says that in every organization, we're going to have a split between two different groups. One that's delivering software that's really based around, it's got to be reliable, and I know what I'm delivering. And the other, which is pace is what's most important, and I don't necessarily know what I'm delivering. I'm experimenting to find out. I have a hypothesis. So I'm looking at my shopping cart data, and I see that, you know, for a certain price item, we have more shopping cart abandonment than we do for larger priced items. Why might that be? Well, maybe it's because the cost of the item compared to the cost of shipping is so close that people think, I'll just go buy it at the store. I don't have a business requirement. What I have is a business hypothesis. So what do? We conduct an experiment. We crank out some code. We make changes so we combine the price together with shipping. We roll that into production and run it simultaneously with the existing system and figure out, does this really return value to the business? So it's a very different way of thinking about delivering software. It also is very different, though, from how we're structured. Traditional development is built around things like centers of excellence. Here is a silo that knows how to test. Agile and more what we call mode 2 development is more about a team. It is everything needed to deliver the experience. So organizations are going to end up having essentially two IT groups, one that is building a stable foundation of services that can be consumed, and another one that is taking those services and delivering ever-changing user experiences that bring us closer to our customers. The way that this will happen from a hardware and a software perspective is that we have to rely on cloud platforms. When we started out in the cloud, everything was really this idea of, hey, I can take stuff and I can host it somewhere else. This is not a new notion. We've hosted things on mainframes remotely for years. But what did we do? Well, we took everything we have and we just had somebody else run it for us. No real change to what we're delivering, how we're delivering it. As we've moved into the cloud, what we saw was, well, what I can start doing is taking certain pieces of the delivery and standardizing them, making them shared, making them common, making them services, or essentially just the same way that you think about how telecommunications is delivered to you or how power is delivered. I just plug in and it's ready to roll. From there, we've worked our way from the hardware and the networking and the infrastructure into platforms. And so platforms say, let's take all the software infrastructure and now also move that to a shared location and be able to build on a common foundation. You go back not too many years ago, and every project that would start, we would have to evaluate, oh, what's the software stack that I'm going to build on, and which version of the technology are we using? And we find many organizations where you see there are multiple versions of the same technology running because every single project had to make a change. So it wasn't really standardization, and it didn't give us the reuse and capability to work together that we need. As we've moved from there, you've seen people start to really develop out this idea of adding in more platform capability. But really where this started from is organizations that have typically started with, we have applications, we're going to deliver applications, software as a service, not hosted, but, oh, you have your own instance, you can customize it, you can work with it, you can extend it. Oh, wait a minute, we could take that and turn that into a platform that will give you productivity and speed and the ability to get to market faster. So as we've done that, now we're starting to settle in where there's this balance of different things that we deliver. One that is oriented towards everything is unique, everything is different, everything is specialized, and another which is really around, how do I drive productivity and how do I make us able to be responsive? In order to be responsive, I have to remove a lot of the unique behavior and get back to a common platform. And in the center of that is really this idea of an application platform that is delivered to me in the cloud. Sets of services, sets of tools, ways for me to be able to see and deliver applications, flex them to the needs that I have, the ability to gather analytic data because now I can hook into common services. And this is one of the key things is that as we move towards the cloud, we're not just reliant on what we deliver. We also can work across a mesh of services that are delivered within our organization that may come from partners, that may come from the platform providers, that may come from other software services that we happen to run. These will give us ultimately the productivity, the insights, the ability to not have to master everything, but understand, oh, how do the pieces fit together? How do we manage those pieces? How do we hook them in? Once I've done that, now I can deliver productive, scalable applications that will meet the needs of our business and allow the business to be responsive, which means if we're responsive, theoretically, we should get more business. And more business is good. It means more money, that's more salary for me. Well, not necessarily for me, but for you. And I think everybody's always happy to get a little more money. So as we move forward, there's a lot of different moving pieces. New architectures, new platforms, new development methodologies, changes to the way that you might work, changes to the way the business is going to work with you. It's not simple. It's not something that's going to happen overnight. There's not the big easy button. I think that'll be our biggest challenge. We'll be businesses ready to always just find where's that button they can push and we're done and we're ready to go. But this is fundamentally what every organization will have to go through. And this will be the key to businesses being successful in the future. And I thank you for your time, and I was glad that I could be here.
Thank you very much for joining us this morning, and I hope you really enjoyed learning about the new Azure App Service that we're launching today. It's now available for you to actually go to the azure.com website, sign up for free, and start using it to build great web, mobile, API app, and logic solutions. And we're really looking forward to seeing some of the great applications and solutions that we know that you'll build with it. Whether you're looking to connect better with your customers, drive even deeper business insights, or achieve even more agility as you develop and build towards this new world, we really think the Azure App Service has something great for you. Come again next month to our Build Conference, and you can learn even more about the Azure App Service, as well as a whole bunch of new other Azure capabilities that we'll be introducing. And we're really looking forward to working with you and seeing the applications that you build with all this great technology. And again, thank you for joining us.